scripture reading will be from Romans 8, verse 18 to 25, and it's titled Peace for the Earth. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently.
Thank you, Peter. Wouldn't it be nice if everything was simple? If everything was clear, if every problem had an obvious solution, if every mystery could be solved, if everything that was opaque could be made clear, wouldn't that be nice? Well, actually, no. I'm not so sure it would be nice, because that would take away one of the wonders of the world. It's in pondering the possibilities and wondering over the enigmatic aspects of life that make life so very interesting. It's the same, I think, with faith. There are some things as the Christian church that we say, we got this, we understand this, we articulate it, we profess it, we believe it. And to those things, those standards, those basic and defining characteristics of faith, the church has remained faithful to them. Even in the face of persecution, the church has said, this we believe and on this truth we stand. There are other things that we hold to be true, but we say that there is room for debate. There is room for wonder. And we can discuss this with our brothers and sisters within the church, within our denomination, within this congregation, and with people of other Christian traditions. There's room for us to disagree on significant points, and we wonder. And there are some things that we say we believe and which we hold to that we do not understand at all. The kind of things that we think about and we even maybe lay in our beds at night and just wonder about this and say, I have no idea how this works and I don't understand this at all, but I just want to ponder upon it. I hope that you are not one of those people who are so sure of everything that they refuse to see the mystery and the wonder that is beyond the capacity of our little brains to understand. People that are so sure of everything miss a lot of the fun and the joy that comes from wondering about the things that God has shown. I think that the greatest mysteries are ontological. They're about being, about understanding what things are and who they are and what they mean. So we say, what does it mean really when we say that God is one? and that the Father is God, and the Son is God, and the Holy Spirit is God. And even though we have these three persons that we say is God, we say, but there's not three gods, there's one God. And you ponder on that, and does anybody really understand how that can be? Does anybody say, oh yeah, that's just so obvious, I get that totally. I say, well, you probably haven't thought about it very much because it's mysterious. Or what does it say when we talk about Jesus? Here it is, the day before Christmas. We talk about Jesus, say, what does it mean that Jesus, say, he is the Son of God. He is 100% the Son of God. And we say, and Jesus is fully 100% human. He is one of us. Say, how does that work that Jesus can be fully divine, fully God, and he can be fully human? 100% plus 100% still equals 100%. You ponder on that and it starts to cook your noodle after a while. It is one of these great mysteries of the faith. And what does it mean when we say that human beings, people like you and me, are made in the image of God? That we possess souls that animate us, that draw us to God, and that while we also have this image of God in the soul, we are physical, we are drawn from the earth, we are water and soil all mixed together and held together. And does anyone really understand what happened to Jack's brother this week? When he went from being a person who talked and sang to a person who was totally still, growing cold, with no breath in him. How is it that we who are alive are connected somehow, body and soul? How does that connection work? And what does it mean when we say that our souls are going to return to our body? We talk about resurrection and renewal and all this, but what does it mean? How does it work? And we don't know. We wonder. It's in this last wondering that we get close to the meaning of our text from Romans chapter 8. Remind you what Peter read for us, verse 22 and 23. The Spirit inspired Paul to write this. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. Not only so, said Paul, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the resurrection of our bodies. There's groaning going on. Creation's groans can be heard very clearly when we listen to the news. You read about the fires in California, and earlier the fires in British Columbia, out of control and destructive. You hear about the groaning of creation when you hear reports of birds and marine life that are choking to death on the plastic that has gone into the oceans. You hear the groaning of creation when you hear about the glaciers that are retreating and the Arctic sea ice that is not forming, and the reports of polar bears starving on snowless shores. Creation groans. You hear about hurricanes and typhoons. As Joanne shared in the children's message, we were for quite a number of years missionaries in the Philippines on the island of Mindanao. And this week, northern Mindanao, where we planted a church, is underwater by floods because of that typhoon. Joanne and I watched that, and we prayed and we grieved. The pictures that you can see in the news, the church we planted is just off the picture. And we don't know exactly what is happening there because word has not been getting out. And then we moved to the southern part of Mindanao, to Davao City. And on the news this morning, there was a report of a mall that caught on fire, and they believe 36 people were trapped inside and suffocated in the smoke. And creation groans. Cities in many parts of the world have air that is so thick and so brown and so disgusting that weak people, respiratory impaired people die, and strong people have to wear masks to get around. And creation groans. These things are not the way they are supposed to be. God did not create the world to be a place where people die, where animals are tortured, where the air is not breathable. Creation was made to be a place of balance, a place of perfect order, where life unfolds joyfully and every element of that creation is at peace. That is the intention, that was the will of God when He created this world. And where that balance is upset, where order is disrupted, where peace is lost, then there is sin and the tragic results of sin. Creation is the creation of God. And the care of that creation is our calling, has been from the earliest days of humanity's existence until today. God said to Adam and to Eve, said, you are in this world so that you will nurture it, so you will tend it, so you will guide it to an unfolding that is beautiful and wonderful and harmonious. And where Adam and Eve sinned, and where we continue to sin, is where we have failed to preserve that order that God wanted to see in His creation. Where we have failed to preserve and to protect air and water and land, we have sinned. And when our greed or self-interest causes us to justify our desecration of creation, we only compound our sin. To advocate for healthy practices and policies that bring wholeness and sustainability to God's creation is to do a holy thing. But it's not just the environment, and it's not just nature that groans. The fact is that we, humanity, also groans over the consequences of sin. As a pastor, part of my calling is to come alongside people in hard times and difficult times. When sickness strikes, they say, Pastor, would you come visit me? When trauma occurs, there's been an accident, and I go to the hospital to be with those that are suffering or watching those that they love in such dire straits. When relationships sour, when marriages are breaking up, when kids and parents are at loggerheads and there's brokenness in the relationship, sometimes they say, Pastor, would you come and talk to us and help us to work through this? I see in all those times that we are groaning because of sin in the world. And if right now you're saying, you know what, I'm not groaning. My life's pretty good. I'm healthy. My kids are healthy. We all get along. I got enough money. My job is good. I'm content. I'm satisfied. Great. But I do want to tell you that the time of your groaning is coming. The time of groaning will come to everyone in this world and in this life. That we will get a diagnosis from the doctor that strikes fear into our hearts and makes us groan. We will endure trauma, that accidents might well be in our future, and some of us are going to experience that. People have told me that when they're facing marriage breakup or problems with their kids, they say, you know what, I never saw this coming. When we married, we were so in love. When our kids were little, our relationship was so good. And now, I don't know what happened, but things are all haywire. Unexpected, unlooked for things are the things that come. But this is where the good news comes in. The good news is all that groaning, present and future, is not the last word. It's not the last sound that is made in this creation. It's not the last thing that comes out of our mouths because of Jesus Christ. Jesus came. And this is one of those things that we say, this is a thing we stand on. This is a truth that we don't say, did he come? We say, he came. It was witnessed, it was prophesied, and it's the fact. Jesus has come, and we believe the truth of the prophecies that say he came to be God with us. And because he did, because he truly came, because he truly lived that life of perfection, because he truly was the sacrifice that took our place and paid for our sins, because of that, our groans will be replaced by laughter, with thanksgiving, with wholeness, and with peace. I love it that we also stand on that, that we confess that. When I have to walk with families in times of loss, we come to the cemetery and there's this open hole. And everybody knows the body of the one they love is going to be lowered down and covered over. Say, don't look down. Look up. Because that is the place from which our Lord returns. And because he does, there's a resurrection coming. This is not the last word. In the hospital, when there is sickness and when there is fear and maybe even an impending death, we proclaim together that the Lord comes with healing in his wings. And the day is coming, we say, without embarrassment, without fudging. We say the day is coming when cancer will be gone, when weakened hearts will be made strong, where joy will be ours. When I'm in the living room talking to people whose world is crumbling around them as their relationships are shattering, reminding people that the Prince of Peace can bring peace back even to our relationships. And he will sustain us through through the times of brokenness and look forward to a time of reconciliation. So if you hear nothing else, I want you to hear this, and please listen to this. Jesus came to restore peace and wholeness to creation, to every part of creation. Let's not make the mistake of spiritualizing everything. So, you know, the only thing that really counts is your soul. Saving souls is important. We do want to share the gospel. We do want people to know that Jesus is Lord. We want them to experience the joy of peace that comes from being in a reconciled relationship with Him. We want that. And we work to that. We have programs that help us to accomplish that in the name of the Lord, of course. But it's not the whole story. All of creation is important to God. Our souls, as part of creation, are important to God. Our bodies, created by God, are important to Him. Our relationships that He has allowed to flourish and often talks about our relationships being a parable of God's relationship with us are important to Him. The environment we live in, the air we breathe is important to God. The minerals and the trees and the chemical elements are important to Him, and Jesus came for it all. He came for the mice. And He came for the elephants. He came for the pond. He came for the river. And He came for the ocean. He came for that. And if the Lord has come to save the world, to restore the world to what it should have been before sin came into it, then we should care just as much about all of these things. Our vision as Christians needs to be as comprehensive as God's vision for creation when He sent His Son to be God with us. We can't stop all the groaning. That won't happen until Jesus returns. But until that day, we comfort each other where we can, and we encourage each other where we can, and we restore that which is broken wherever we can in the name of Jesus Christ and to His eternal glory. So let's make this a great Christmas season by committing to the Prince of Peace's agenda, by having our vision shaped by His vision, and helping all creation smile back at the Creator who is smiling at it. Let's pray together. Dear God in heaven, we thank You that You are so great, that Your vision is so wide, that we can match our vision. Thank You, Lord, that in Your name that we can care about all this brokenness and seek to restore it in Your name. Thank You, Lord, that You have let us see what is Your plan so that we can be Your partners in working toward it. Lord, we want all the glory to go to You, and we want what You want to be accomplished in the world to the best of our ability. We will strive to be faithful servants of Yours. Help us to have that kind of wisdom, that kind of courage, that kind of vision. Because You care, and we are so glad. Thank You. Amen.